Okay, so welcome everyone to the fifth episode of the BECBC Shadowboard podcast. We're delighted to be joined by three more member companies today. Interestingly, our member companies today aren't SMEs, we're looking at the sort of larger companies. So we're delighted to be joined by Steve McCulloch, the Marketing and BD Director for Armstrong Watson, by Becca Lutwich, the Programme Manager for the IT department at Sellafield and also a member of the NextGen team, and also Dougal Monk, the Head of Strategic Development for Government Services for Europe for KBR. So welcome all.
Hi, welcome Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you very much for joining us all. So, sorry as well, you've got Rhianna Smith and Adam Pearson from the BECBC Shadow Board to come and speak to you all today. So before we go any further then, could we hear a bit more about sort of your backgrounds and your companies and what you sort of do before COVID all came around? Perhaps starting with Steve, if that's okay.
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Adam, and good afternoon, everybody. As Adam mentioned, my name is Steve McCulloch. I'm Head of Business Development for Armstrong Watson. Armstrong Watson's been basically supporting, advising and protecting clients across the north of England and Scotland for well over 150 years. Our firm was founded in 1867 and to this day proudly has its head office based in Carlisle, Cumbria. Armstrong Watson has 16 offices in total, six of which are based here in Cumbria. We're a very proud top 30 UK accounting firm. We provide a full range of specialist and financial advisory services right across the whole spectrum of different sectors. Our real sweet spot are SMEs, or as we prefer to call them, family-owned and family-managed businesses. We provide everything from accountancy, cloud accounting, audit, tax, payroll, corporate finance, and everything within business and private individuals' complete life cycle. So with our regional offices based from Glasgow down to Leeds, from West Cumbria over to Newcastle and virtually every area in between, we're very focused to provide a truly tailored business service and business advisory. We're large and experienced enough to work alongside any size of business. We're here to work with every business, particularly with their owners on the performance, understanding every part of what the operation needs, from people to processes, understanding the current status, and most importantly, looking after all their forecasted plans. A lot of people ask, so I say, you know, what's the role of Armstrong Watson? Well, it's dead simple. Our role is to share in a business's vision. We work alongside you as you progress towards identifying your own goals, to support and guide you towards funding, finding sort of everything from, you know, all aspects of opportunity through efficiency and growth. We're very proud to have a quest at heart of everything that we do, and that's to help our clients achieve prosperity, a secure future and peace of mind. And basically, in a nutshell, we can look after any business, any individual in their complete life cycle.
Brilliant. Thanks, Steve. And over to Dougal then. So from one quite large company, Steve, but for Dougal, you know, KBR is a huge company. I'm aware your role's more sort of west-facing, more Europe, Africa, et cetera. Yep. Can you give us a bit of an introduction to KBR and sort of your role within KBR?
Yeah, so I head up, I'm the head of strategic development. What does that mean? I look after strategy and business development for our government solutions business in Europe, Middle East and Africa. Globally, we've got, as you say, 35,000 people. It keeps shifting. It's probably grown a bit since that number. But in the UK, we're focused around complex program and project delivery through the life cycle. Could be from, you know, a greenfield type project, through to, you know, the biggest thing we've got in the Northwest is obviously Sellafield and the decommissioning as part of the PPP being the integration partner. And then more broadly, we're kind of in defence logistics and engineering support, whether that's in nuclear up in Glasgow or with on the defence, the submarines. Through to estates, we manage 10,000 troops worth of accommodation in the southwest of England for the MOD. We provide aeroplanes for training or logistics support to the government overseas in places like Bahrain and Afghanistan. Complex programs, complex projects is at the heart of what we do.
Thank you very much. Brilliant. And Becca, so we've obviously met before through our sort of shadow board connections and through the Sellafield Next Gen team, which is fantastic. But you know, a bit more about your sort of day job role, and also a bit about a bit of sort of vision about Sellafield, about what the kind of mission is really.
Yeah, thanks for that, Adam. So Becca Lutwych, I'm a chartered project manager by background. I'm currently working in programs in our IT department, so that's looking at some of our core enterprise systems, so SAP, etc. Sellafield, our role at Sellafield Limited is to safely and securely decommission the Sellafield site. So that's showing kind of demonstrable progress against high hazard and risk reduction on the site and delivering value for money as we're a government subsidiary company.
Brilliant, fantastic. So we'll sort of move on a bit now to kind of where things, sort of how things were affected when, you know, March time lockdown was sort of coming into force really. So starting with Steve again, I guess, when that first kind of couple of weeks happened where things were starting to head towards lockdown, how did things immediately change then for you guys across your 16 offices?
To be fair, it actually started to happen for us a lot earlier than March 23rd, which was the first official lockdown. We were monitoring the situation from, fair to say, probably mid-January, because many of our clients, as you would expect, have been exporting and importing over to China. So we knew that the pandemic or the coronavirus was becoming very real in the UK. And I think for us as a firm, we were very fortunate that we'd invested very heavily making sure that all of our workforce could very easily work from home or work remotely, because we'd noticed that that's what our clients were expecting of us. We're not what you would call a traditional accountancy firm. So luckily, when the coronavirus or COVID-19 really hit sort of mid-March, I think the first real, what made it very real for us, I think, was when the first schools were starting to be suggested that they were at risk of closing, which was around about the 16th of March from memory. So when the 23rd happened, we immobilized people to work from home, literally within half a day, getting them logged on, making sure that they had the correct access. We were no strangers to all things cloud-based accounting anyway, so swapping our systems over in a secure way was something that we were able to execute very, very quickly and very efficiently. When the 23rd officially happened, we were already up and running, working remotely. Our office went on virtual, all our offices went on immediate lockdown, so they were physically closed. But what we had to do is make sure that our website was able to carry the amount of traffic that we were hitting very, very quickly. As you can imagine, it was information overload for a lot of these businesses. So every time there was a government update, there was some policies and procedures that were updating two or three times a day even. So making sure that we were up to speed with all the latest communication, because we then had to, I suppose, in layman's terms, make sure that our clients and our prospects knew exactly what was coming. So from us, we were already on the COVID-19 journey end of January, certainly right the way through February until it hit in real form in March.
Right, okay.
That's really interesting. I was just going to ask, Stephen, have you noticed sort of business slowing down? Is it been continued or has it actually increased? Because like you said, you've been monitoring this since January, so you've probably been in a really fortunate position that you've probably been a bit more prepared than other companies.
Yeah, it's a good question. I wouldn't necessarily say for us business has slowed down, far from it. I think what we've seen is we had to switch very quickly into advisory mode. But first and foremost, we had to understand, you know, what was happening ourselves in order for us to advise our clients. So from us, okay, yes, slowed down in terms of, you know, visiting clients, having clients that we used to welcome into all our offices, sort of slowed overnight. But then we really kicked into, you know, remote communication. We very quickly established Microsoft Teams. That's been an absolute blessing for us. And the way that we communicate to clients, just, you know, making sure that we could communicate them through virtual meetings, and luckily our clients adapted to it very, very quickly. So I wouldn't say business slowed down. It just made sure we because as I suppose our more traditional ways that we communicate with our clients slowed down in terms of meetings, we had to then very, very quickly switch gear up to make sure that we're ready to advise them. So we actually found an increase in our activity.
That's great. I think it'd be interesting to go to Becca now, with obviously working in the IT department. It must be quite interesting to see a hands-on approach. How has it affected your department? I imagine putting all these policies and procedures in place must be quite difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of echo the point made earlier that this is something that Sellafield was kind of looking at before government sort of came and implemented lockdown and work from home arrangements. We've got to be able to understand as an organisation how we put our plants that we need to in a safe, quiescent state while we're operating kind of skeleton staff that need to be there to maintain safety. But you're absolutely right that everybody else, it was the mandate to work from home where you can. And that involves a whole host of rollout of laptops, remote access tokens. We are so far down our journey to the cloud, but we're not quite there yet. So it was, how do we kind of set up Microsoft Teams? How do we set up Zoom? How do we enable people to work from home? And that's kind of a twofold thing for me. It's about having the right tech in place to be able to carry on our normal daily operations. But it's also the people side of it. There's a huge kind of people side of lockdown where you don't want people to feel lost and disconnected from the workplace, because that's a really big part of people's mental well-being. So there's been a big focus and a drive on that from Sellafield to make sure that everybody's connected.
That's great. And what about you, Dougal? So obviously you've got 35,000 people globally, but what about in the UK? How's everyone coping with it? Are they working from home?
Yeah, I mean, we had a really similar story. I mean, slightly different to Stephen in the sense of we actually have offices in the Far East, Singapore. So we started to see the effects of COVID and lockdowns really early. So the benefit for us was we started planning what we were going to do in the event of a lockdown. And we actually shut our office a week before the lockdown came in officially in the UK. And we've shifted everybody to remote working where we could. I mean, we have some people dotted about overseas on sites that, to be fair to them, have done a fantastic job of continuing to operate on those sites. Generally, they're sort of bases, so they become a lockdown island anyway. And some of them have been there since March and haven't come home, haven't seen their families. So, you know, we talk about the people who've been working from home and how fantastic that is. But we've had some guys who've really, and girls who've put some amazing shifts to keep our services going. So similar story. And I mean, yeah, globally, of our office-based workforce, which I think is about sort of 15,000-20,000, we had 95% working from home within a week. And it's all the things that Becca mentioned, you know, access tokens, bandwidth, just making sure that worked over a week. We were really lucky, like Stephen, we'd started to implement Teams from the beginning of the year anyway, as part of a more general rollout, and that just got accelerated. And then we're also, we happen to be a strategic supplier to government. So we started getting questions from the government about what if around February time, late February, certainly into the beginning of March, what were we going to do if this happened, that happened, which enabled us to put sort of contingency plans in for all of our teams and all of our operations. And in terms of, Rhianna, you mentioned, you know, I think the things get busier, quieter. Definitely in the first few weeks and months, things were busier, but not necessarily in terms of more business, but it was just much more engagement with customers, you know, far more talking with teams to make sure that everything was going well or going as well as it could. And I would say, you know, credit to the government, it did everything it could in those first few months to make sure that things could continue to move as quickly as possible. I mean, we saw, you know, early payment coming in to us so we could pay our supply chain quicker, you know, trying to keep contracts that were in the final stages of negotiation, getting those over and getting those started, even though mobilization is particularly difficult. So they've gone to great lengths to keep activity moving rather than it coming to a complete halt.
It's great to hear how everyone was so prepared for this, actually, in terms of that sort of foresight. And, you know, people talk about March, but it seems more like January, February, but that's when things started to really kind of start to crystallise in people's minds. And obviously, I think for the next global issue that appears, people will be much more prepared now because everyone's sort of taking it seriously, really. So
I mean, well, it's true. I wouldn't disagree, Adam, though. So I used to live in India and went through two natural disasters, a cyclone and a flood while I was there. And one of the things you learn, and even COVID surprised me, is you the danger of planning for the last thing that came along. And I think even despite all the planning we did, you know, COVID is different to what we were anticipating. So the lesson I have is, you know, don't assume it will be like the last time. And definitely, you know, plan early, act quickly. And I'm sure we probably could have all acted even quicker than we did.
Sure. So now we're sort of kind of 4 or 5 months down the line then. How are things looking in terms of your businesses? Is it returning back to work, or have you found that actually working from home and in the home office is actually more effective? Is that going to continue indefinitely? You know, anyone want to sort of chip in here about this?
Well, for us, Adam, we've already launched a program called Reimagining How We Deliver. You know, the CEO has already said we will not go back to the way that we were before. And that doesn't mean a huge, you know, massive transformation in the way we do things. But working from home is going to become part of our sort of standard operating model, without doubt. And then there's all the consequences that flow on from that.
Sure. And is that the same for Sellafield then, Becca?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's certain roles at Sellafield that are absolutely site-based in things like construction, commissioning, operations. We're starting to stand back up a number of our major projects and a number of our facilities. But there are a great deal of roles that can function well as agile roles. So come into the office when you need to, run things at home when you need to. And we very much start as part of that kind of refresh and restart. Are looking at that connected working and how moving forward we can adopt more of that agile principle.
Sure, and Steve as well, would you agree with us with that?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think most importantly is making sure that our offices are safe. We've done a tremendous amount of work making sure that all our colleagues and our clients can enter our workplaces safely. That's been our number one priority. We are a people business at the end of the day. We are starting to see offices fill up now. We're on an initiative to try and get people to, you know, get back into more of a work-based frame of mind. And also because, and I sometimes think this is under-mentioned sometimes, we want people back in our local offices, which predominantly are in town centres, because the impact of the local economy. So while they're working from home, they're perhaps not walking up and down the high street at lunchtime or buying their lunch or their coffees on the way into work. So we're actively trying to do our bit for our localised economies, just try and get people back into offices. We can guarantee it's going to be safe. And also from a point of view that what we're noticing now is more and more of our clients are wanting that face-to-face contact, particularly with their accountant, as you can imagine. That there's some traditional type of clients that still aren't comfortable, or they perhaps don't trust a digital way of communicating. So we just need to make sure that we can serve our customers the way that they want to be served. So.
Absolutely. And I think it's what you mentioned there, Steve, actually is important that we'll look back on this as a sort of pre-COVID and a post-COVID world in terms of how people work, how people do business, but also, you know, what the future of the high street looks like. And that's probably a podcast episode in itself for another day. But it's a really interesting point that you mentioned there about the local economy and how it feeds into the wider economy, really. So
I think, Adam, I think there are actually three phases. There's the pre-COVID, there's during COVID, and because this isn't going to go anywhere for, you know, 12 months, 18 months. And then there's post-COVID. You know, and we've just started to reopen our office to let people back in, mainly driven by a need to collaborate, and we're particularly cognizant of, you know, mental health. I think people, you know, we've got some people who are single, who've been, you know, working on their own in their houses, and just, you know, we're social creatures, so we want to provide that contact for people. But actually, so we've got an office that's set up to keep people safe. Hopefully, though, that office will be different in 18 months' time when we don't need to make it safe because of COVID, because we've got a vaccine, I assume. And then we can, imagine what that space might be in a completely different way from a collaboration type space or whatever. Who knows? We're still working that out.
Yeah. I think this podcast has been really interesting, actually, getting that larger perspective from larger organisations. Like we said, we've been focusing on SMEs, but it's actually been quite nice seeing that both across SMEs and larger international companies that they're getting the same sort of outcomes from this whole pandemic, and actually a lot of it's going to be carried forward. Working from home is going to be the new norm. So like I said, there's been quite a lot of positives coming out from these. Yeah. But on a personal level, we'd like you to name a positive that you found from the situation. Have you spent more time with your family? Because obviously, Becky, you mentioned about well-being really important for the workforce, but as individuals it's all important. And has there been a particular coping method that you found? Have you struggled? Or basically, we want to hear about how you found the whole pandemic personally. So I don't know if anyone wants to jump in and volunteer.
Or anything surprising or anything sort of unusual, you know, one of those fun facts about me type things.
I suppose I'd be reassuring to many of the listeners out there that I cannot claim to have been some Mary Berry cake wizard or home teaching expert. I mean, it has been at times head-bangingly frustrating with two young children juggling all of that. But there's no doubt more time with the family has been an absolute bonus of the whole COVID. And I can also say I'm definitely leaving lockdown fitter than I went in. I've done a lot more running and a lot more exercise. So that's been a positive.
Great. Becca?
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things. You kind of feel like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul sometimes. So between balancing act of not really feeling like you're spending enough time on work, but then enough time with the kids and all that good stuff that goes with it. But I think kind of on the positive side of it, though, it's meant that we have had more time at home. So I got to climb a tree with our little girl a couple of days ago, and it's something I haven't done since I was younger. I think there are definitely positives, but it is a balancing act for everybody.
Great stuff. Nice one, Becky. And Steve, anything else that you've done? Any top?
Sadly, my cookery and skill and tree climbing skills certainly haven't improved since lockdown. I think on a positive, spending more quality time at home. But on a serious note, I think proving to myself how effective working from home can be. It's something that I'd never really jumped into. So I suppose through lockdown, I've had faultless, you know, even though I live relatively remotely, I've had faultless internet connection. I've adequately been able to do the job just as well working from home than what I have in the office. I think it's been, although it's been a troubling experience with what's going on in the wider world, it's been relatively pleasing for me to prove that, you know, that we can cope with this. As Dougal said, sadly none of us have got a crystal ball, so we don't quite know what's around the corner. But working for a business like Armstrong Watson that has been able to demonstrate how effective we can be working remotely at the beck and call of our clients has been really, really pleasing to see. And our systems have been able to cope with it as well, which I suppose is a worry for any organisation, no matter what the size, I suppose.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I'm sure in the future that it'll be sort of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, it'll be sort of telling them stories of what it was like during the pandemic and what everyone got up to and Zoom and everything and things and clapping and but all great stuff. Anyway, thanks all for joining there. It's been really good to hear a sort of range of different companies in terms of how you've reacted to COVID and now sort of coming back to some sort of normality. So thanks for sharing with us and just best of luck for the future, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Adam.
Bye. Thanks for